for joining us. We're going to get started. I'll give you a quick heads up. We're doing an hour today. It's Broker Connect. You want to jump in as soon as possible. Calls are starting to come in pretty heavy. There's still plenty of room for questions right now, but we don't usually get to all the questions we have on the show. So jump in with a question, a comment, a topic. Press one on your phone. And if you do it right now, I promise we will get to you. So we're going to get started. We'll get to the questions here in just a little bit.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is Broker Connect. This is the show where we bring brokers and carriers together to provide better service and more innovation to our ultimate customers, the shipping community. The system has been broken for decades, and it's time to fix it. That's what this show is all about, creating better relationships and better partners between brokers and carriers. So joining me today, I've got Roy Martinez from Swan Transportation. Roy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity and the chance to get to visit with everybody.
Yeah, great to have you here. So, you know, I've looked at this from so many angles. I've been in the industry a long time, and I tried to break this down to the basics, the whole transportation thing, and figure out how do you move freight as efficiently as possible from point A to point B? What are all the things that have to happen to do that? And how do you do it really efficiently, cost-wise, provide great value and great service? Because that's the way we can all make more money. I mean, that was my whole point in this, was how do we do this really well and efficiently and provide a lot of value so that there's more profit left over? Because we know the rates are, for the most part, what they are. It's supply and demand. It's a cycle. It's going to change all the time. So I think if we want to make money in this industry and provide real value, we've got to look at all those costs and figure out what's the best model. So I put a lot of time into this, and I, you know, put all the numbers into it, and I compared kind of what I think of as two extremes. One way you could move freight is a large carrier that does everything. They do all the sales. They do all the back office. They own all the trucks. They hire all the drivers. And when I looked at that model, I thought, this is really inefficient. There are some real conflicts here. One of them being that the driver wants to make as much money as they can. We all do. And he's paid by the mile. The only way for him to make more money is to get more miles. And the easiest way to do that is just drive faster. And when you drive faster, all of the costs go through the roof. The equipment costs go up, the fuel costs go up, the maintenance costs go up. You have more chances of tickets and accidents. And there's just a lot of reasons that's bad, but that's what the driver's going to do. There's just a direct conflict there. And then you have all the inefficiencies of, you know, the carrier's two biggest assets, the driver and the equipment, are out of the carrier's control about 98% of the time. So it's really hard to run that equipment efficiently, keep it, you know, maintained properly, keep the driver happy. And I started thinking, what's the opposite of this? The opposite is a freight broker handling what they're really good at, finding good freight, selling good freight, servicing it, handling the logistics part of it, the billing and all those other things, the customer service. And then to move the freight from point A to point B, nobody is more efficient than the guy who owns the truck and he's holding the steering wheel. He has more incentive to maintain that equipment, get good fuel economy, and move freight efficiently than anybody else. And I thought, there's the answer. You know, really good brokers doing what they do best, really good owner-operators or very small carriers doing what they do best, And I think you provide the best service, the best value, and manage to get the best rates. And that's kind of what this show's all about.
I totally agree with that, Kevin. I think what we see too is just the fact that there's some flexibility, and the owner operator has, you know, the pride in what they're doing. They understand what role they play in this thing we call life, or even specifically called an economy that provides goods to everyone. It can't be done without them, but the efficiencies of it is when somebody's looking to provide the value. And I think that was the key there, is when they're in there and we play our role as a broker in providing value to both the shipper and to the carrier, understanding the perspective that they have, that's where the things start really to click, and that's mutually beneficial for everyone. The carrier who understands and is flexible and wants to provide the best service and value, that's awesome, and has an understanding of how to do it. And our role is to really take a lot of direction from them and understanding what they're looking for and how do we best service what their needs are so they can accomplish their goal. And creating efficiency is right there at the top of it. And efficiencies for what they're needing to do and what they see as their challenges, helping us, letting us understand that we can overcome with them the challenges they face day to day. And whether that's cash flow, whether that's efficiency in their finances, or whether that's simply how are they going to get from point A to point B to C and D, with where they're trying to service for their customer so they can stay consistent and create value and a branding for them. So all those things come into play every single day, and we just got to be aware that everyone who's trying to create that value needs to be at the top of their game consistently.
Yeah, and I think you get more of that in this model. I think you have more skin in the game. You have more people that are really looking to find those efficiencies and provide the value. And you mentioned this, be flexible and innovative. You know, freight is a really dynamic world. I work in some industries, around freight. We bring in other companies and other partners. And I work in some industries that things hardly ever change. You know, the day-to-day stuff is pretty standard. You know what to expect. Trucking, though, on the other hand, boy, it is a dynamic industry. Moving freight from point A to point B never gets boring. There's always some sort of a challenge, and I just see this model being really good at adapting to those things and solving problems.
I totally agree, and that's what we, you know, keeps exciting for everyone, no doubt. It's an exciting industry, but just the fact of being ready to change and being ready to adapt to the needs of the customer, both the shipper, and then being ready to adapt for what the carrier is going to be needing, because they're the ones who are out there on the road. The weather is going to impact a tremendous amount, and the weather's consistently changing. I mean, we've got to be aware of that. And then just on how things happen to them, they become in situations that were not expected, but always being on our toes, realizing that, and being the partner on the other side, you say, okay, let me help you with that. Let's come up with a plan that can quickly execute to get you past this next hurdle, and then look forward for them. You know, they're looking at the windshield all day long, and we can see some things from our end that the shippers are going to be needing that we can feed to the carrier and giving them some awareness of what might be out there and some opportunities that might be there, and also some challenges that they may not see coming down the pipe. But flexibility, and it's got to be there, and everybody has to be willing to be flexible, be adaptable, so we can all create that value.
Yeah, so give us some background on you, on Swan Transportation, where you've been, and what kind of things you guys like to do with small carriers.
Well, Swan Transportation has been around since 1998, and we started really small. We're an agent-based model. So the reason we really like that model is because of that same thing, the flexibility it provides. We have agents throughout the country who have these relationships with the carriers, and they become very intimate, and that's really what we built the business on, going out searching for good freight, and we'll do all kinds of freight. But it has to make sense. And what I mean by that is when we find the freight, we need to make sure that we have a good partner and a carrier that's going to deliver on that. None of this gets done without that relationship that goes three ways. You have the shipper, the broker, and the carrier. We know that. And that's really what we've built on. And we're actually looking to enhance that more and more every day. So that's a big component on it. We do international, we do flat, van, LTL, heavy haul, overdimensional. We like to do a lot because of all the agents we have. Some of them have a little bit higher niche or area of expertise, and they understand their carriers and what they can do and the capabilities of them. The role they play is to be that partner for the carrier so they can provide that sustainable, dependable business for the shipper. Now, my background, I've been in the industry just over 2 years, but I spent a couple of decades over in finance in that world. And what I got to see over there for me was just a cross-cutting section of all industries and all businesses, from the publicly traded companies all the way to those, you know, mom and pops, micro businesses who need that flexibility, who are out there striving every day, and quite honestly are being very successful because they have a pride in what they do, and they're not willing to let things get in their way. They're driven, and that's what was fascinating to me. I loved it. So being in the transportation industry, you nailed it. It's exciting. It's fun to watch people who are willing to get in there and not give up. And when they find an opportunity to execute really well and have some of that pride that they took part in creating value elsewhere. So it's been pretty exciting. We've got a great group, a great staff, great agents who understand the power of relationships. And that's what continues to help us grow. And we're going to keep pushing to do even more there, especially with the carriers.
Excellent. The music's playing. I've got to get to a break. We're going to be right back with more stuff right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, I'll give you a quick heads up. We have lots of calls coming in. Calls are really heavy, but questions are light. So this is your chance. Normally what happens is by the end of the show, the questions all pile up and we can't get to them. So jump in early, press one on your phone, and we'll get to your calls and questions in just a couple minutes. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Broker Connect. I've got Roy Martinez from Swan Transportation with me. You know, Roy, it's interesting. You have a background in finance. And, you know, I got started, didn't go to college, bought a truck, started running. You know, I was in business, and I really was lacking a lot of knowledge. And I figured that out pretty quick. And I decided if I needed to learn about business, that business was primarily about money. I mean, it really just is. That's what the bottom line comes down to. And I thought I better learn money first. So I actually went back to school and became a certified financial planner. And I really think that when you find people in business that have that numbers, money, finance background, it really helps a lot. And it's one of the things I try to educate our owner operator small carriers on, is understanding, you know, what drives business, because they get frustrated from their point of view. They don't always understand why they got $1.70 in this lane 2 weeks ago and they can't get more than $1.45 now. And it really just comes down to supply and demand for the most part, and understanding that flow. And once you get that, then you can start applying that knowledge to staying in lanes. Once you understand there's some pretty clear patterns, you know, so that's what we really strive to help them on, is understanding what's driving those rates. So one, they're not so frustrated, and two, they know how to get a better rate. You know, I've always kind of used this formula. I just made it up. There's no background to this. But I think most freight rates are about 90% supply and demand. And the other 10% comes down to the value you can bring to the customer, different from what everybody else is doing, and your ability to negotiate better rates. But really, the one thing you have the most control over there is just providing outstanding value.
I think that's exactly what it is, and 90% of being, you know, supply and demand, absolutely. That's in most every type of transaction. There's a supply and demand that drives the base of the cost. Now, the negotiations and the idea of the value is huge. And the value really becomes more important than the negotiation, Pete. What we see is, and what I've seen in different industries, not just in transportation, is what are you willing? You don't want the bottom of the barrel. I mean, when you're going to buy a product, you're not looking for something necessarily that you're not going to have dependability in. And transportation, the highest things up there, you know, dependability and the value of getting that freight from point A to point B in a safe manner. So there's value to be given, and there's the trade-off is what's it worth. And somebody, you know, who's a carrier out there who has those type of characteristics of valuing those type of things, they tend to get a little bit better pricing if they're consistent. And we love it because we like to be able to pay for value because it lets us all sleep a little bit better. That's something that cannot get overlooked. And communication is huge. The visibility and the back and forth relationship oriented type of transaction goes a long way, and we know that. And for the carrier standpoint, I think you're spot on. It's tough. I mean, they're out there working consistently and trying to manage the finances at the same time. That can be a difficult thing. So I think roles that we all have to play is being aware of the other person's financial situation, so we can adapt to help them to be successful. Because if they're not successful in this entire chain of events, if one link isn't successful, then the whole chain goes away. So we got to do our part to be able to service that side for our partners, including the carriers. So, you know, cash flow is a huge deal, and I think it's great that you provide what you do for all these carriers and helping them understand and giving them the things that they might need so they continuously can be successful and it's sustainable. You know, we don't like it when the economy starts to go the other way and things tighten up, and then, you know, they're in such a bad spot they haven't been able to plan ahead a little bit or understand what's coming down the pipe. And that's a challenge for everyone, and we don't want any of our partners to have to face that. So we just got to be aware of it on a day-to-day basis consistently.
Yeah, you know, when you think about the life of an owner-operator, and, you know, we think about all the things that have to happen to move that freight, you know, from point A to point B, that he's the guy, he's in control of it. But all the other logistics, the things, the selling, the servicing, the invoicing, the compliance, all that stuff, you know, I've seen some guys try to do it all themselves. Very, very few are successful. But if you think about it, we've got a driver who legally is allowed to drive 60 hours in 7 days or 70 hours in 8 days. And with ELDs coming, there are people who are freaking out because that ELD is going to hold them to just that amount of time. And we know in the past that we don't always play exactly by the rules when it comes to hours of service. But let's think about that. What we're saying is 60 hours a week isn't enough just to get the driving part of this job done. They think they need more. I've been trying to convince people, guys, look, you don't want to work any more than that. You want to work less and be more profitable. But even at that, even at 60 hours a week, how would that, and you still have to, you know, handle all the other parts of the business, the accounting and, you know, setting up maintenance and all those things. Where would there possibly be time to do all the things that a good broker can do for you instead? The problem I see is we're not creating enough long-term partnerships. You know, the idea of providing value sounds easy on the surface. In the real world, that's the biggest challenge there is. And how do you do that? It's kind of in a science, but I'll tell you, it doesn't happen when you've got a carrier working with a broker for the first time. I mean, that's not where you're going to do a lot of problem solving. You're barely going to get the job done. And if something goes wrong, you probably don't have the base and the tools and the relationship to fix the problem as good as you could. So I've been trying to promote this idea, find a couple good brokers to work with, create real partnerships. And the longer you work together, the better and better you get at providing value really efficiently. So I was thinking about your model, and I love your model with the agents. Here's what I tell people. You know, if I had a truck again and I was just getting started, I find a company like yours, you handle lots of different freight, you have the agent model, but you're still small enough. And what I would do is start to get to know people in your organization. I could start looking for agents that work in the lanes, the areas I want to be in, that handle the freight I want to handle. Maybe I find two or three or four of them around the country, and I start building my own model. You know, what kind of freight do I haul? What lanes do I want to specialize in? You know, the longer you do that and work together and work on those kind of things, that's when you find ways to provide real value that other people aren't providing.
Hands down, I think you're exactly right. You take it away from the transactional type of methodology, the transaction type of business, down to the relational side. So when something does not go the way it's planned, there's a relationship to fall back on. That's a huge piece. If you don't have that, you can't keep moving forward. The idea of the model that we have is exactly for that reason. You know, great, everybody wants to scale and get size and get big, and that's great, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but you don't have to abandon some of those close relationships that you have with the agent level, because at that point it's a first name basis, and they understand where you're going, what you're trying to accomplish, and it's their job as the agent in their world to know, I need this person, I need this carrier to be successful, so thereby I can be successful. And if we're both successful, that means our shippers are getting satisfied and they're successful. And without some type of an understanding that it's still based on relationship, I don't care how big you get, you still have to have a relationship. Because if you don't, then it becomes down to what you said, you know, supply and demand, and then the prices start to go away. The value add goes away. And when something doesn't go right, which is, like we said, it's an exciting, dynamic industry, something's not going to go right at some point in time. If there's not a relationship to fall back on, the whole thing goes away and everybody starts all over. So there's a level of trust and confidence that has to be built. And I think consistency with what you're talking about, having the carriers deal with just starting off with a good group of brokers that says, okay, this is my group, I'm going to depend on them, and being open about it, saying, here's where I like to run, here's the type of freight I like to haul, here's what I can do. Let them know and push the agent and our broker system to look for that for you. Push it for them, and they'll love that. I mean, that's what we like, is a carrier who's going to be really hungry and wanting to be part of the game and saying, I can do this. And you know, there's that mutual dependency. When we start to really get to feel that, then it becomes a good relationship where I know I need you and you need me, and we're going to help each other be successful. Having that one-on-one type of situation is fantastic. It helps so much. It helps us in our day-to-day world, and not just in the broker-carrier relationship, but it helps in any type of family relationship just as well. It just crosses lines so often. So. I very much agree with that.
I got to get to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get to some of your calls and questions right after this break. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Broker Connect. We're going to get to your calls and questions. Still room. If you jump in right now, we'll be able to get to you. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, press 1 on your phone, and we're going to get to you right now. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Broker Connect. I've got Roy Martinez with me from Swan Transportation, and we're going to get to some of your calls and see what it is you want to talk about. Let's get started in Maryland. Mike, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Got a question. I had a situation develop last week with where a broker dispatched me on an overdimensional load. We had the dimensions. We pulled the permits in advance. I get there, still haven't painted the last piece. I sit around for 6 hours. Then they bring me around the other side of the building where the piece is, and we get ready to load it, and the dimensions are wrong. Now we have to get another set of permits. There's a $500 penalty if I don't deliver it on time, but now we can't deliver it on time because Pennsylvania DOT is going to go on a one-hour lunch. It's going to take them 3 hours to issue the permits, and we might make it to 200 miles before dark. After we pull the second set of permits, broker cancels the load. Of course, they don't want to pay anything. What's the best way to handle that?
Mike, thanks for the call. And I tell you what, that's a tough thing for you in your world. I mean, you're out there trying to accomplish a job and provide the value that was asked you to provide, and they pull the rug out from under you, no doubt. You know, I'd push real hard on that broker because that's not relational. You know, you got to be understanding that if that broker is relying on you and they've asked everything of you and you've done it, and the shipper changes direction on us, you know, that's where the broker has to be the advocate, because that carrier was putting themselves in position to accomplish the job, was ready and to go, and you were there. That broker needs to really lean on that shipper, and I'd push on that broker to do that, to make sure that they understand that they are ready to go. They did everything they were supposed to, and you did, and we got to take care of you. I mean, there's all kinds of things and reasons, like we said, that go wrong. But in situations like that, if the communication wasn't there, I definitely, you know, this is where the coaching and the teaching goes back the other way too. You as the carrier, you know, get a little bit in that broker and say, hey, we're on the same team. We need to be able to do it right to get the job done. But that includes that communication from beginning to end consistently. If the piece wasn't ready yet, well, they should have known that, obviously. But make sure that broker is going to be the advocate for you when it comes down to that, and then they need to be able to do something, because that's the partnership that cannot be broken.
Well, you know, part of the problem is there's miscommunication somewhere on the dimensions. I really don't know. I really don't care where the problem was. We just had a problem. But, you know, the broker says, well, they don't want to pay for it. Well, my contract is not with the shipper. My contract is with the broker. And, you know, I don't want to say what the broker's name is, but it rhymes with TQL. And, you know, we have this issue with certain brokers when a load turns soft and brown, and they don't want to step up.
So, Mike, let me ask you, because I know working with big brokers, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a little different, though. When I worked with big brokers, what I tried to do was seek out a person in that organization to build the relationship with. We talk about relationships, and you don't build relationships with companies. You build relationships with people, with individuals. And
Correct.
The bigger the company
was,
sometimes the harder it becomes, because people move around, they get, you know, there's more turnover in big companies. So I really like small to mid-sized partners. I work with some big companies, obviously Michelin, and it's more of a challenge. You know, you got to find that right person, hope they stay in the same position. But just out of curiosity, this particular company and this agent that you were dealing with, is this somebody you have a long-term relationship with?
No. I tried to keep. It was more or less a backhaul, and
yeah.
I look for overdimensional loads in places other people don't want to go. I try to keep my front haul circle very, very close and tight, and I have those relationships there. And you know, even last week, I protect my regular customers from the crazy rates that we had last week. My regular customer wants a load shipped on DOT week. They don't pay twice the going rate. They pay the same thing they pay in January and February. And that's how I try to foster that relationship. But on some of these back calls, you take what you can get.
Yeah, and you know, you've got the right idea, the right model. All I would say is just keep expanding your model, you know, to the point where it really doesn't have to be a backhaul or a one and done, or you're just out, you know, searching the load boards. You know, again, looking at a company like Swan Transportation with the agent model, they've got lots of freight, they have agents all over. You know, you could potentially build those kind of relationships with some individual agents in the system that keep you moving. So nothing really feels like a backhaul. I know you already have customers. Absolutely, you're going to service those first. And then, with the right company, not only would you have the relationships of the agents directly, but you could also build some relationships within that company that can be advocates when something goes wrong. And the bigger a company gets, the harder it becomes to do that. You know, so... and that's why we're doing the show. You've got the right idea. You've got the right model. And all you need now are some tweaks. You know, if you had that same kind of relationship on every load the way you have with, you know, your outhauls, that would just make your business that much stronger. Because right now, with this load we're talking about, you have very little leverage. I mean, you can certainly go press the broker, and I would, no question. Just like Roy said, I would push to get what you're due here. But, you know, we have a lot of companies, and it's not brokers, it's everybody. It's just business. There are a lot of businesses that, you know, got their heads down, and all they're trying to do is get through a day. And in this industry, because we have so much of the one and done, this broker is going to say, I'm not paying this guy. I don't even know who he is. You know, there'll be another truck tomorrow. That's a horrible attitude, but we know it exists. And if that's the attitude you get on this load, you're not going to have a whole lot of leverage. So we want to try to stay out of this kind of position where we just don't have any leverage to solve the problem, you know, because you're the one that's ultimately going to pay for everybody else's mistakes.
Correct. Well, we have the TQL $100 surcharge that we put on everything to try to mitigate some of that. But
yeah. Mike, I'd say this too, the broker side, that, you know, the front haul, the back haul piece, I think those close-knit brokers that you work with, you know, we try to do this too, and it's not the easiest, but we want to continue to try to get better at this. For you, what we're looking to do is, okay, you have the front haul, okay, and you're doing some over-dimensional. Well, our job is actually to go look for the freight for where you're going in that area so we know the next one, you know, as far in advance as possible, especially with the over-dimensional side, so we can get all that in place. I mean, that's what we do as a broker, is that we're out there searching for freight so we can continue to feed you, and it doesn't become where you're going to a last resort just for a backhaul, or maybe to having to rely on somebody, you know, in the broker world that you just don't have a relationship with. So that's what we have to do better as brokers. And as agents, we got to be able to say, you know, Mike's going to be going, you know, from point A to point B. Well, within what circumference, I need to go find some freight for him. So he can have it ready to go and have that same relationship. So it's a continuous type of idea that we're not just going to put you out there for one load. We're looking for your next 2 to 3 loads and get you where you want to go to keep that circle going, keep you rolling.
Well, that's certainly ideal, and that's what I try to do. But occasionally you get in those spots. And,
So.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. And again, you know, Roy, I see a lot of guys like this. They've got the right model. Sometimes just patience. You know, it takes more time to build those relationships. But I think when we focus on something, when we identify, hey, this is what I need to do. This is where I keep running into my biggest problems. When I get in that area, I don't have a relationship. I don't have any freight. I'm just going to the load boards and grabbing whatever I can. I mean, that's when we have the problems. That's when we don't understand how to work together yet. When things do go sideways, it almost always gets ugly. And it's really easy at this point for either party to just bail and say, look, that didn't work out. You know, they screwed me and I'll never haul for them again. Or, I mean, he even said it. If I haul for them, I have to put a $100 surcharge on just because I know there's going to be a problem. Well,
that's terrible.
We need to keep that model. You know, we need to get back to those, you know, build as many relationships as we need to keep our equipment, you know, loaded and moving and making money and have the relationships so we can solve those problems. Because it ultimately, again, Mike is the guy that paid for everybody else's mistakes here. And, you know, we could say all day that's wrong, but it happens. And we have to figure out ways to fix that. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, we're heading into the final segment. I'll give you a quick heads up. We could probably squeeze in another call, maybe two. If you want to jump in with a question, press one on your phone right now. And we'll get to you. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Broker Connect. I'm talking with Roy Martinez from Swan Transportation. We're going to get right back to your phone calls. See what it is you want to talk about. We're off to Utah. Terry, welcome to the program.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, here's the thing. I'm relatively new in that I just hit my one-year mark. I've started developing some of the relationships with some of the brokers, but I'm still having a problem getting reasonable rates. And when I say reasonable rates, for me, what I'm looking at is when I go in and I get a load, the first thing I do is I go, I'm a member of DAT because one of the relationships I have is here in Utah that sends me out, and then I usually find my own load back off of the boards. But getting out there, it's a very specialized load. And I've got a specialized trailer, and it works really well because I haul 11-foot products for them. These are 11 feet tall. I've got a 28-inch deck, but it's hard to get loads back, and so I have to incorporate more of a deadhead, expecting more deadhead. Sometimes I have to just deadhead all the way back home, and a lot of my running is in Texas, all the way to Florida from Salt Lake, so I'm running 1,500 to 2,500 miles round one way. The thing that I do is I try to go to the DAT information for my lane rates when I try to get a rate for them. And it seems that we're not getting, even when I come back with these other loads, people are not meeting these, what I would consider average rates. Right now, I realize I'm getting a 90-day average, but the rates seem to be going up, and I'm not seeing them matching any of these rates on average. I would say 80% of the loads that are out there are wanting to be far below, and when I say far below, more than 20% below what I would see on the lane rates. And when I do this, I take the line haul, and I automatically subtract 15%, and then for them, for the broker, so that they make a decent amount. And then I take the fuel surcharge and then add it together, and I got a little spreadsheet built up here so that I can run very quickly and give them a quote in just a couple of seconds on the loads. Is it just me, or what's going on with these rates? Are they not going up the way DAT is telling us they're going up, or what's?
Well, let me jump in, and then Roy, I'll let you jump in on this as well. One of the things I want to clarify, you said you take the line haul, and I assume you're looking at, you know, published rates and averages in that lane. Then you add 15% for, and then you said you add the fuel surcharge.
No, I'm minus 15% from the line haul and give, yeah. Expecting that's the broker's cut.
Yeah. Okay. And that's all right. And then, but you're adding back in a fuel surcharge.
Correct. Because the line haul, the way they're published is you get a line haul rate for that lane, plus the surcharge gives you the total rate for that lane based on DAT's published data.
Yeah. But I just wanted to clarify that you're not adding another fuel surcharge on top of what's already being shown in there.
No. I'm taking the published rates.
Got it. Okay.
But I'm not taking that 15% out of the fuel surcharge because I believe that goes to me based on the fact that I'm the one using supplying all of the fuel.
Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of ways we could slice that pie, but what you're going to find is the fuel surcharge technically is only there for a long-term contracted rate. I mean, if I'm negotiating rate today, I know what my fuel costs are. We all know what fuel is. So we're just one rate, and you know how we split it up and how much the broker gets, and that all comes down to relationships and negotiations. And so there's a couple things that could be happening here. One, rates are really, really dynamic, and the market, the people pricing this stuff are a whole lot more familiar with the rates and the trends than the owner operators. And I've said that for years, and it puts us at a disadvantage. So we need to work twice as hard to understand those rates and lanes and the patterns, because what you can see sometimes is forward pricing. They know that this lane is about to dry up. There's just not going to be any freight. That's going to drive price down. And we're almost anticipating that sometimes. So that may be a part of what's happening. The other thing, though, you have to remember, and this is what the show is about, and this is what I keep driving home, that other, you said sometimes as much as 20% off, that 10,
well,
15,
well, no, that's, no, that seems to be about the average is,
no, I know.
Is the 20% off. And then yeah, I'm seeing as much as 50% off of line haul.
Yeah, if somebody's trying to move a load for 50% less than the average, they know something, or they're just bluffing and, you know, hoping to move the load, because you're just not going to see that very often. But people will try, no question. But the other part of the part that is missing out of this rate, the 10, 15, 20% average, that's the relationship piece. When all I'm doing is randomly looking on the board and calling cold, nobody wants to give you their best rate, and they shouldn't. That would be crazy. So,
and I understand that.
And remember, the rates that get published, not 100% accurate. They're getting better all the time, but those are, you know, many of those are relationship built. There was a better rate that ultimately got paid on this load, and we don't know why. But a big part of it is this relationship. When you're calling cold, you're just not going to get the best rate until you prove yourself. So, Roy, anything you want to add to that?
I think I'd reinforce exactly what you're going with there. And Terry, you're exactly right. It's kind of sometimes it's all over the board, and literally, no pun intended, but that's what happens. And the data is consistently getting better on some of those, but the seasonality or some of the unknowns that are out there for particular variables move those rates faster than what you might be used to, or you might expect them to move. And I think the way what we see is that type of a relationship with the broker in that communication, consistent communication, that's more of on the pulse. And what I mean by that, what I say is, if you see something, don't be afraid to get that broker that you have a relationship with and having some of those, and ask them, what are they seeing and why? And use them as that resource, because that's their job. They really have to be the primary resource to understanding what's going on in particular lanes that they focus in. And for you, you know, the type of freight that you're looking to haul, you know, get good with those brokers and those relationships. Get ahead of that data. See what's going on the boards is data that's being thrown out there. But try to be ahead of that a little bit if you can with that relationship, because they're speaking with a shipper constantly, and they're finding that information. Have them feed you some of that info so you can kind of get a little bit more on what's coming over the horizon. That might be helpful, because it is. The boards are, there's going to be some data in there that's just what's not accurate, let's put it that way. But all that to say, relationship with the particular brokers for the type of freight and the lanes you're looking at, ask them. Put them on the spot a little bit. Have them get some information to you. Just to help you get a little bit more of what's going out, because you're taking some long hauls, so you're going to have to be looking a little bit further down the horizon and have them give you some of that information from what they see.
Roy, that is an awesome tip. I love that idea. So let's say again, let's go back to the, I've decided I want to work with Swan Transportation. You have the freight I want. You've got agents. I start to build some relationships. And this is always an ongoing thing. The more we focus on this, the better we get. But we hit one of these days where I call you guys up and you just don't have something where I am today. And I'm seeing these crazy rates that seem 50% less. Using Terry's example here, if I have a good relationship with you, this is an awesome thing. Hey guys, I know you don't have any freight in my area, but help me out. What's the deal with the rates here today? Because you guys are in the rates all the time, and the owner operators don't have time. I encourage them to get more involved with rates, but you guys are doing this all day. And I love that idea of use you as the resource. Even if you don't have a load for me this time, if I have a good relationship with you, I could get on the phone with you for a couple minutes and you can help me understand. One of the things, Terry, I'll tell you, they have the rate negotiation tools, the load to truck ratio numbers. And sometimes what you'll see is the broker's in there looking at the load to truck ratio, knowing that it's in his favor, and he'll try that 50%. Just to see what he can get, because he just might think based on what's posted today, and that may not be what's going on in the real world. Hey, before we get out of here, Roy, why don't you let us know how somebody can get a hold of you if they want to work with you?
Absolutely. Love to have it. You can contact us at 903-705-0441. It's 903-705-0441. Love to be a partner with you and help you be successful. So that's our role.
Thank you very much, Roy Martinez from Swan Transportation. Give him a call. Start building that relationship. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. All right, everybody, thanks. We're going to wrap it up for today, just an hour. We'll be back tomorrow for 2 hours of Pittsburgh Power and the Power Hour. We'll see you then. Thanks.